This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We watched Yes, God, Yes, and we're going to talk about it today on the first episode in 2021 of Good Christian Fun.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Yam Tipiego.
Consider the source.
Hey.
Consider the source.
It's all about jacking up.
Everything.
Consider the source. When you love somebody, you want to defend them.
Consider the source.
And we're considering Jesus Christ the source of all of our hope, faith, and joy. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Alec Baldwin's smirk.
And right you are. We're here to have some good Christian fun. No, that's Caroline across from me.
It's just us in the room tonight, Kevin.
It's just
in the metaphorical room.
We wanted an intimate little kickoff
we
to the year.
We wanted an intimate kickoff, Joe.
Oh, here's a conversation I had earlier today. Okay. Do you think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have ever watched a movie together?
Ooh. Now that's interesting.
I feel like the answer is absolutely not.
They haven't been like in a room together in a really long time, it seems. One.
Yeah.
And I doubt that they would be spending any of the time that they do have like watching a movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Unless they were traveling together. Like maybe Maybe once they're on Air Force One, I think they will. But up until this point, no.
Okay, and when they're on Air Force One, what's happening? Is Kamala like, Joe, have you seen Love Actually? The signs are so romantic, Joe. And he's
no
like,
malarkey, Kamala. Kamala, but I want to watch Soul.
He likes Soul?
Yeah, he's up on it. Listen, he's got a hot young family. I need to stop talking about how hot Joe Biden's family is.
Because I don't know which ones you're referring to as well. Did you know they're making a sequel to Soul?
Already?
Yeah, it's called Sister. They're making a prequel too. It's called Hey.
Okay. What? Is there a third one called Train?
It's Hey Soul Sister Train.
Soul Train.
No,
wait, Soul
I said
Train.
A sequel.
That was a real show, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, that
I
was.
I know, but Train also did the song.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
Which I know because I went to a Train concert on a date, and the date thought it would be like a really cool concert to take to me to, but I didn't know who Train was.
And you said, despite this, Nate, yes, I will marry you.
No, it didn't end up working out with that one.
Good Christian Fun is all about the one it did end up working with, our
yeah.
Lord, God.
Yeah.
It ended up working out with him.
He's the one that got away, but only for 3 days.
Okay.
He came back.
A romantic comedy where a woman thinks that Jesus has ghosted her because she's like, he hasn't answered in so long. It's been,
long
has it been, Tara? It's like, I don't know, like 48, 72 hours.
He'd rather die than
hours.
Get back to me.
And I just want him to turn that little cheek of his. It's too graphic now. Now it's a bridge too far. It's a podcast where we talk about Christian popular culture, the movies and the music and entertainment made about Christians and Christianity. We're not here to make fun of you, though, or to make you go to church. We're not here to make here's the distinction. We're not here to make fun of you. You know what I mean? Like, whoever's listening to this, we're not here to make fun of you. Like, we might
specifically, but someone that you align yourself with, philosophically.
Someone you listen to, perhaps. A family member of yours, probably.
The cultural monolith of Christianity is not the same as your faith.
No,
you
absolutely
need to know that.
Not. No, and I would never want to mocky someone's little faithy waithy ever.
Faithy waithies are sacred wicked.
Yeah.
Wakewood. And that's your business. And that's your business.
And that's your business. And whatever you do in the privacy of your own bathroom and your bedroom and wherever you have your quiet time, your QT.
In the words of the priest from this movie, that's between you and God.
Hey. You know, as a young child, Caroline, I was torn between two QTs. That was Quiet Time and Quentin Tarantino. Those were around the same time.
Oh, I think it's the opposite of Quiet Time.
What is it? It was the Fiona Apple profile where she's like, I watched Paul Thomas Anderson and Quentin Tarantino do cocaine, and now if that doesn't make you
just
not
like, and
ever
listen
want
to them
do
talk
cocaine.
For like 3 hours straight, like, can you imagine?
A true nightmare. But we're
I
just
the first hour would be interesting, and then
the first 20 would be good. There'd be some nuggies in there that you'd
yeah,
want to remember.
Be like, whoa.
And then everything else after that would be like, no, I want to go
man,
home.
Man, madness.
Please
I'm
let
hungry.
Me go home. I'm yeah. hungry. Feed me, Paul. Feed me a little mushroom omelet, Paul.
Do you always imagine that scene to have taken place in Quentin's movie theater, too?
Oh, that's like in his like little basement theater or something?
No, in like the one he owns.
Oh, the new Bev. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I assume they're going
at his home.
I bet they're both Valley boys. Yeah, because Paul Thomas Anderson is such a Valley boy, and Quentin Tarantino loves the Valley.
Total Valley boy.
818 till he dies. Yes.
Kevin.
What?
Okay, I would like you to become a very rich, rich man because I think it would be so cool for you to have a theater in your house.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Because I feel like you'd be one of the few rich people that actually uses it, honest to God, all the time.
The theater?
Yeah.
I feel like Tarantino probably uses his all the time.
Yeah, well, okay, filmmakers aside.
Yeah, okay, that's
like
true,
a lot
that's
of
true.
The people that have a mansion with a movie theater, it's
right.
like,
well, yes,
they watch Trolls on there like one time with their kids and like fill it with candy in every crease of those like nice armchairs and they never watch anything.
I know. I just think of the theme nights, which like, you know, for the... Yeah. For the listener at home, one of the, I don't know why I just decided to direct this to the listener at home. I'm just talking to you. But you know, one of the things that movie theaters are doing to stay afloat right now is letting parties and groups, rent out a theater. There's like theaters in states.
This was my idea.
And this was your idea?
This was my idea.
And you gave it to AMC and Regal and the Alamo Draft House?
No, I didn't. Somehow they found it out. They found my journal or something.
They found your IP.
Yeah.
But how fun would it be post-vaccine to do like... Because I think it's going to be, you know, they're going to keep it part of their model going forward as they continue to try to survive.
So you're saying like you get your group all vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. And I administer it. Yeah.
Just to make sure, double sure.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to, I want to.
Are you going to check everybody's chip that's in their veins too, Kevin?
Yeah. I want to make sure they get a safe Mark of the Beast. I mean, Moderna vaccine.
I just had the thought of like you were the Antichrist.
Hey, yeah, it's me. I know.
It's all led to this.
Look at this. This is what...
He's too powerful of a podcaster. He is broadcasting far and wide.
The Squarespace ads were too strong. The conversion rate was too high. But
that was something that I remember really blowing my mind in high school when they were talking about Revelation, which we talked about a lot, was like there's some verse or some prophecy that's about like... that every eye being turned and like mouth praising the Antichrist or whatever. And then my teacher was like, so what does everybody have in their house now? A television set that they can broadcast to. So everyone could be looking at him literally around the world. And I was like, oh my God, the modern implications in this ancient text. Like what a great prediction.
I know. I think of that lyric in Jesus Christ Superstar where Judas in the titular song where he's like, why'd you come back now when there was no mass communication, Jesus? Like,
yeah, for real.
This is not an efficient plan.
Extremely lame.
It means to make your thing known.
And everything that you could keep a record on is made of like tissue paper, basically, that's all going to fall apart in like 20 years anyway.
Isn't that fun? And instead of a TikTok or something.
Yeah.
If Jesus came back via TikTok, it'd be
forever.
Oh my God. But, yeah, look for, maybe, you know what? Maybe for my birthday this year, October 2021.
Yeah.
10 months away. Alamo Draft House, me and 25 of my closest friends.
That'd be so fun.
Little Women Rowdy screening. Where
rowdy
everyone
screening
just,
of
like,
Little Women.
Screams at everyone. God. My Little Women. And everyone's just like throwing up their popcorn and just breakdancing and stuff. That'd be so fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. Yeah.
Caroline, how's your heart? It's been a while. How's your freaking heart? We haven't asked how each other's hearts are in forever.
It's a regular thing.
By the way, we did a discussion question call on our Patreon, patreon.com/goodchristianfun. And one of the comments from Ken and I was, how's your heart found dead in a ditch? Which I found to be very funny.
Sorry. Thumper Bumper also found dead in a ditch.
Well,
no headstone, no tomb, no service.
Just a cremation and then scattered into the ocean.
Marked as Jane Doe. My heart, let's see. Let me really think about this.
Be honest.
It's 2021. My heart is good. Yeah. I think I've felt hope, which really changes a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, from practical circumstances or just like from God knows where. God knows.
From, you know, having a different administration to having a vaccine in a few months to, yeah, just other like good personal life changes and stuff like that. And so I think because of that, I feel less like this is a bad time, like pandemic speaking, but like feeling less out of control and scared and like extremely humbled by the situation. You know, I just feel like a little bit more like, okay, I have better coping mechanisms and also I'm seeing the light and like, so I can manage these next few months and not feel like, because I just think it was really hard last year feeling like it was going to be interminable, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit less like that now.
I definitely thought it's like, well, this is 5 years. There's going to be a five-year process. And it actually might be in some ways, but just in the
in
sense
some
of
ways,
like,
yes.
You're in a cave and you can see light and that is different.
Yeah, it changes everything.
And that's the promises of God.
How is your heart, Kevin?
Oh, kind of the same. I think the last month or two, there has been even some sense of optimism, even with Caroline and I being in the global epicenter of the global pandemic. 1 in 5 people are testing positive for the coronavirus. in our county, which our county advised today.
One of five people of the five that go to get tested.
That's right.
Not like, because you can't test the entire population of
you
LA
cannot.
County, but still.
No, and honestly, you can't vaccinate the entire population, so why even bother?
We just shouldn't.
Which you shouldn't, yeah.
It seems hard. We should skip it.
And coronavirus has a death rate of 0.01%, but COVID-19 vaccines have a death rate of 0.00000000001%. So vaccines are deadly poison. I think I feel the same way, where it's like...
You do.
Yeah, yeah, just a lot of gratitude for the current situation and being able to get in and out of a grocery store without fearing for my life, and being able to go days without seeing people and not lose my mind, and being able to face them. Oh, yeah, I'm still grateful. I'm still grateful. In the beginning of 2021, there's so much I have. 2020 was just so many reminders of you have this, you have this, you have this. This is inconvenience right now, and this is like temporarily deprived, but it's also a marshmallow test. You know the marshmallow test, of course, right?
Yeah.
Which for anyone that doesn't, it's just the test you give little kids where it's like, you can have this marshmallow now, or you can wait whatever period of time to eat it. And if you wait, you're going to get two marshmallows later. So it's just a patience testing exercise that most of the country has failed in a lot of ways. And our leadership has failed more accurately.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel,
do you feel like you have a little bit more of a pep in your step? Like just like, oh yeah, I can handle this day, you know?
Oh yes. No, I'm like, I don't mean this in like a arrogant way, but I'm amazed at my own coping mechanisms sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know what you mean.
Oh, this works. I'm good. It's okay. Yeah,
it's like, I'm handling this fairly well at this point.
Totally,
you know?
Fine. You know what's really touching to me at the end of the year, too? Yeah. And even with some of the episodes we recorded at the end of the year and the beginning of this year, and listening to other people's podcasts, were people talking about the normalcy that they had from listening to their favorite shows. And even like hearing people that I love and respect talking about their favorite shows, like even Jason Manzucas is saying like, oh, listening to Doughboys was really helpful. Or like even the podcast he was guesting on when I was listening to it. And people writing it to us and saying similar things, and other people on their shows talking about the feedback they've gotten, where it's like, This was a consistency that we could maintain to some degree for people, which I'm like proud of and then grateful for the people who have done it for me as well. You know?
Yeah, so that's a great one.
I was like happy to be a part of that flow in a way, or like part of that like chain in that sense.
Yeah, you're all about paying it forward, famously.
Yeah, I'm all about the actors and paying it forward. Helen Hunt, Haley Joel Osment, and a man who, let's say, is a little spaced out sometimes. Let him be frank, Kevin Spacey. Wait, did you see Pay It Forward?
No.
I thought you knew who I was going to say.
I actually didn't remember who was in that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did you see? Anyway. You saw his end of the year video, right?
No, I don't. I don't want to.
Don't
you
give him clicks. Oh, I did.
I can't give him a click. Yeah. I also, as we've discussed, you know, I feel stable, but it's tenuous, so I'm not gonna rock the boat with a Spacey video.
Yeah, so you're like feeling okay about all the present and personal circumstances, and the thing that might tip you into over the edge is a Kevin Spacey.
Let's just say my mind is a house of cards right now.
Okay, don't blow on it.
Kevin Spacey's video is a bowling ball. I don't know. Is that giving him too much power, though?
I think so. But what if he did his Bill Clinton impression?
Okay, he's got me back.
Remember
so
that?
Funny.
He hosted the Tonys like 5 years ago, and he was like, what if I was Bill Clinton hosting the Tonys? He did Bill Clinton. He did Johnny Carson.
Ancient.
It was so sad. Oh,
do you think
man.
The masterclass took down his acting class?
Immediately. They took down Dustin Hoffman's as well. They had two sexual harassers on the books that they had to then erase from the records. So let's hope, let's hope Aaron Sorkin doesn't do anything anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Aaron Sorkin doesn't have any skeletons in the closet anywhere.
Well, the thing is, his have always been public, and they're not sexual harassing. They're just, like, condescending, calling female journalists internet girls and things like that. Yeah, things of that nature. So, we put out a little call for discussion questions on our Patreon, patreon.com/goodchristianvine. Which we have a goal of getting to 12,000 subscribers this year. that we wanted to just put out into the universe. And so, Twitter, do your thing.
Patreon. Twitter, talk to more than triple our following with the same content.
Yeah,
okay?
No.
It's not going to, the improvement won't be proportional to the following.
It would be a sextupling of our, it'd be more than a sextupling. But we have faith and we walk in faith and we don't live in fear in 2021.
We don't live in fear.
We're saying goodbye to fear from 2020. The fear that were the shackles around our leg. I don't want to use little what language. Never mind.
Shackles on my feet. Please subscribe.
Please subscribe. Just $5 a month. So we had discussion questions, which if you never had the experience of being in a community group like Caroline and I were, where Caroline and I met and fell in mm-hmm. friend love for the very first mm-hmm. time, discussion questions were the questions given to the group for everyone to just kind of popcorn up and kind of free ball and do a little jazz on, something mm-hmm. to spark a conversation.
Guaranteed to be pretty much extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're time. Like three of the same guys talked every time because they felt bad. And sometimes they didn't want to. Sometimes they were actually like, well, I can.
It would just be silent for too long. Fill the air. Someone has to talk.
Yeah, and I was one of those guys sometimes.
Oh, I was one of those guys as well.
Yeah, oh, you were one of my favorite guys in that community group.
There's no way. I don't remember what I would say in there.
But we're sparking, you know, this is like a 15 to 20 minute conversation.
Yeah, okay, I can do that. I'm looking at the clock right now.
We're looking at the clock. Yeah, we're running it down. So we got one, like, and we're gonna make this a part of as we have more guests on that maybe we've had on in the past, and it's like, well, we know your guestimony. We're not gonna say like anything new. Okay, well, moving on. Like, we're gonna
say it again.
We're gonna try to get to a different thing. We're going deeper, we're growing, we're changing, we're refining in 2021. 2021, I will say for GCF is our year. 2021.
Mark our words.
This is ours. We're taking it by the horns, Army Hammer style. It's going to kiss our little feet.
You know. I did get you to promise and agree that we'll do a live show this year.
Yes.
Safety precautions permitting.
Safety permitting to do a live show this year. Yeah. Maybe
happen.
On Zoom.
So that's our year. That's already, you know, better than I think 2019 and 2020, so hey.
Oh, we didn't do anything in 2019. Oh my God, you're
did
right.
Did we? I don't think we
no,
did.
No, we didn't. We did not.
No. We just did two episodes of this show every week. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah. You know what? Maybe we could use a few more of those, like, oh, it's so nice to listen to every day. Maybe a couple more of those until we feel a little bit better about our work in 2020.
Looking forward to that. Okay, so what's our discussion question?
We got one from Elliot that I thought was nice and I thought was interesting. Elliot asked, if you'd never gone through your spiritual journey, would anything important be missing from your current day-to-day life? If you had never gone through your spiritual journey... Being a part of the church, deconstructing, reconstructing.
This podcast.
The weird grace.
My marriage. Most of my friendships.
Yeah, Caroline. would it be an easier question of like,
probably
what would not
apartment.
Be different? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I guess don't even think of it. The way I thought about it was like. Not
literally, but more, yeah.
Not like practical, like I wouldn't have this shirt, which I got from Pastor Tim or something. But like, but even ways of thought, values, virtues, anything like that. Yeah. Personality stuff.
Yeah. What do you think?
The first thing I thought about was my relationship to the idea of friendship.
Okay. Let
Caroline.
What do you mean?
You know what what's the conversational equivalent to someone seeing dollar signs in their eyes when someone says something that just like really piques their fancy? I think for all the trauma inflicted stuff and the weird gender role stuff that we talk about with the church, something that I do and I did find valuable about it is how fertile a ground it was for cultivating relationships and friendships in a way that felt safe. And that's not everyone's experience. Like, there's so many examples of abuses of that, the Hillsong stuff, and so many things that even our listeners have shared of like,
yeah,
this person took advantage of me, or not even like people in positions of power, but peers. And I feel like for me, and maybe this is speaking more to my personality, but it always felt like such a safe space and ground to be open and vulnerable and easy with other people, even in like goofy ways where it's like, I didn't feel afraid to be silly because there were always like other people. And that's the most important thing. And the thing I want to impart in 2021, fam, don't be afraid to get a little silly sometimes. We're saying goodbye to non-sillies in 2020, and we're saying hello to silly in 2021.
Are you saying that like it was easier to, one, be yourself because you weren't always worried about like attracting someone?
Yeah.
And two, that it was easier to make female friends because there wasn't always the pretext of like, oh, this is just a hookup or something. Like, I actually... There's such a long runway to any of that that we do have to be friends like, for a while.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Because I wasn't, you know, I didn't go on a date in my early 20s. The first date I went on was like when I was 24 years old. So like so much of my time in my early adult life was just focused on the friendships, basically. And so, yeah, there was such a sense of like.
And you felt like church was the reason that like you had that perspective.
I think so. Because it's so just influenced, like you're just so a product of your peers. Like as much as we want to individuate and say, this is my personality and these are my virtues. And I do believe that about myself and about people, but it's also just so inflected by the people you're around. And I was around a lot, and again, not everyone's case, but I was around a lot of men and women who had a lot of respect for each other. It was like a very childlike place to be. And sometimes that's bad, but I mean not childish. I mean childlike in the way of like that kind of innocence that I sometimes yearn for in my 30s, where it's like, why is this so adult and complicated and loaded and strange? And you just want that sort of simplicity of innocence to just engage with a person in a direct way. I guess what I'm saying is it kind of felt like an extended high school or a college time for the good and bad of that. But for the good of that was, hey, look, I'm not looking to get married here. I'm not looking to dishonor people's like individuality. So it was good for that. And it kind of extended something that I think if I was around different kinds of peers and, you know, you always hope that's like, well, whoever my friends would be, that they'd be respectful people, but maybe that wouldn't be the case. I don't know.
Yeah. That's it's kind of hard to say. Yeah.
What about for you?
To steal a phrase from Gia Tolentino that I think about a lot is like the everyday morality things. Like, I think I have a very strong like compass of like what's right and wrong. And I think part of that might be because of who I am. But also a big part of that was like there were a lot of clear ethical stuff. And this is where it gets murky, too, because a lot of them were framed as good or bad, but they're actually a lot more gray. But things like stealing or cheating or lying or being unkind to someone or not being generous, like those things were drilled into me so early on. And I really appreciate that now because I don't know if like I think I would have like given lip service to those things now if I hadn't been raised Christian and be like, oh yeah, it's important to be an honest person. But I don't think I would have like really treasured them and felt like they are like a good guiding principle when I feel unsure, you know?
Yeah. So
when
just
I feel
like,
myself like just wanting to seek my own self-interest all the time, you know?
So a deeper ingraining at a younger time of the values that you would come to have later, maybe.
Yeah.
But something that felt like important and almost urgent earlier than it does maybe for most people or than it would have.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that was a big part of the education and something I appreciate. And it's, another one that we've talked about a lot too is like because of all the damn discussion groups we did and Bible studies we did and quiet time we did, like I felt like in talking to people that maybe didn't grow up with Christianity or with a lot of like an intense religious upbringing, I feel like they are just now getting better tools for introspection or for like evaluating yourself or your motive or your goals or your desires and things like that.
Right. Whereas we were probably doing that like 14.
We were doing that really early. Yeah. And then sometimes like it was inappropriate, but in some ways I think it was a skill that like we have now too that's really helpful.
I know like one of the worst things, truly I think one of the worst verses is the heart is deceitful above all things in terms of like the misuse and abuse of that, and even the core idea of that is like above all things, like really that's what the heart is, because it engenders this like never trust yourself, never go with your own instincts. And there's a way in which it's bad, like going with your gut and like, I don't know, I just felt it, you know, in an impulsive way. But yeah, it makes people not trust themselves. But then there's a way in which it's like, I don't think you'll regret interrogating yourself and your actions and your emotions a little bit. Like, that's what you end up doing in therapy anyway. So just...
Exactly.
You can do it on your own time, too.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that it always turns into, like, self-loathing. I mean, it did for me mostly for a long time.
Hey.
But, but it doesn't have to be that, too. Like, it can just be the thing that's like, okay, what's the actual need right underneath the surface need that I'm projecting right now? Or like, what, how am I not being honest or kind to myself or something, you know? And it, I feel like it's a little easier to access that stuff.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's about efficiency.
And, you know, the value for the unborn.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, let's take a quick break. So the thing I'm taking away from what we both said is like, for you, it kind of increased your emotional intelligence and like your self-awareness of your internal life and your thought and feeling earlier, maybe more sharply and more acutely at a younger age.
Yeah.
And for me, it kept me a little baby boy until I was in my mid-20s. So just great parts of our day-to-day life.
We all were figuring it out, you know?
Oh, that's what you say to someone you don't know what to say to in a conversation. You say, you know what? Hey, we're just figuring it out. which is maybe what old the jack-off queen herself says in the climax of this movie.
Hey,
we're all just figuring our shit out. Hey.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Caroline. Hey, thanks for sharing your testimony today, Caroline, with me.
Cracked open my heart.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you.
Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic for the first time in 2021, Joe. Come on, let's go. Should I replace that with come on, let's Joe? I'm diving in.
Yeah.
Would that be better, the 2021 update? Go. Yes, God, yes. Yes, God, yes.
Yes, God, yes.
A movie, it was like made in 2019, came out last year in 2020, last summer, but it premiered South by in like 2019. It was based on a short film of the same name. The same writer-director, Karen Main, first-time writer-director. She worked in book publishing before, and she had co-written a movie called Obvious Child starring Jenny Slate.
Which I loved that movie. Did you ever see that?
I never saw it. No, I've been meaning to. I wanted to before we recorded this so I could like speak to it better.
Oh, yeah. But it's good. I liked it a lot. I think it's even a little bit better than this movie.
So she made the short starring Natalia Dyer from Stranger Things, who looks so much like my friend Julia that sometimes it's unnerving to me.
And yeah, this was like, she was just fresh off of season one of Stranger Things. This was kind of like...
Yeah, when they made the short, she like... Famous. Yeah, she didn't know who she was. The director, the writer director, Karen, said that she had to like skim through season one of Stranger Things.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this girl. Like, okay, yeah. Sure.
I thought she was a really good casting for this role.
Yeah, so it's this isn't a Christian movie. This is a movie about Christianity and Christian themes. It's essentially I pulled up the Netflix synopsis of it. A Catholic girl finds herself having tempting thoughts after an AOL chat turns unexpectedly racy. What was your AOL screen name? I know we've talked about it on the show before. I just want to have it in mind.
It was Click Chick 2014 or something like that.
Click spelled C-L-I-C-K, not Q-U-E.
Yeah.
Because I could see you being a little exclusive back then.
I wasn't exclusive. I was open to all.
You were open to all. And I was, of course, Look Closer 07.
Look Closer, that's right.
Look Closer, the tagline of American Beauty, a movie starring Kevin Spacey.
Our bowling ball himself.
Our bowling ball. Strike!
Strike. Perfect 10.
Ooh, right down the middle. Ooh, do you remember that song? Ooh,
yes.
Alley right Cat Strike.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey.
Me and my brother used to sing that all the time.
Podcasts for millennials are just remembering things that happened in the late 90s, early 2000s.
More Disney IP. Old Disney IP and current Disney IP. That's all we have.
That is, yes, everything is Disney. Watch a teacher on Hulu, a Disney property, technically.
Yeah. Oh, wait, so does Disney own Hulu?
Yes. Well, they own 20th Century Fox, which owns Hulu. So they own Hulu.
Oh my God.
So any of their adult stuff, they kick to Hulu.
Oh,
which was the whole discourse around Lizzie McGuire. Is like, well, in this one, Lizzie McGuire, like the reboot, they're going to bring it back, and Lizzie was going to, she's going to smash. And they were like,
Lizzie's going to fuck.
No, you can on Disney Plus. And they're like, okay, we'll kick it to Hulu. And then it was so tortured. And then they just canceled it. And now no more Lizzie McGuire, unfortunately.
So I think that was a mercy killing. I think that's fine.
So this is Natalia Dyer, Francesca Riehl, Donalyn Champlin from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, who's terrific. She's like a strict teacher in this. And my boy, I'm claiming him.
Big boy. He's your boy?
I'm claiming my big boy. Well, I just want big things for my big boy, Timothy Simons, Jonah from Veep, in this like very small, essentially like supporting character part, which is so similar to another role he plays, at least aesthetically, in a TV show on Hulu called Searching for Alaska, Looking for Alaska, the John Green adaptation of that novel, where he's like a mentor to a bunch of teens again in some way. He's kind of carved out a little niche for himself. But I want big things for my big boy.
Yeah.
I want him to headline stuff. I think he's so good in a way that's like, you get pigeonholed when you're like the heel of a show like Veep.
You feel like there's a dramatic actor in him as well.
He has what John Krasinski wants, I think.
Wow.
In different way. It's like a different
energy. Do you think he has what Steve Carell has?
That's a good comp. Maybe.
An open marriage.
Okay. Wow. Redditor, start your engines.
Timmy's memory is even married, is he? He probably is. No, he is.
Tim Simons. No, he's been married since 2011. I looked up his whole family history today because I'm like, I want to get squarely in this guy's corner. I saw him do a show at UCB once like 6 years ago.
Was he funny?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He has it. And some people don't. He's got it. And I just, yeah.
He's not just loud.
He's not just loud. Some people are just loud.
Some people are just loud. And I think that's comedy.
We know. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or stuttery. Caroline, to quote one of your drops, what is this movie all about?
It's all about jacking off, y'all.
Jacking off.
Now, this is special, though, because it's within the Catholic setting.
Catholic, which is how I pronounced it when I was a small child. I thought it was
Catholic.
I pronounced it Catholic until I was like 8 years old. Like alcohol.
That's kind of funny. Did you actually?
I did actually. That's true.
Oh, that's
like
adorable.
When I read it in my head, yeah. Until my mom was like, no,
if I
Catholic.
Was your parent, I would like never correct you on that.
You're going to do that to funny. Your kids for real. You're going to be like,
if it's a funny one, yeah.
Like a little time bomb that can
Catholic.
Go off.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's set in a like Catholic youth retreat.
In the year 2000, which is important.
Yeah, which I didn't really notice until she pulled up her AIM
mm-hmm.
chat. But it's based off like a really common Catholic retreat. And I feel like one of our guests told us about it one time, but I don't remember what the name of it was. But it's like an elite, you know, retreat where you go if you're like really serious about.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how this movie opens, Caroline?
This movie?
It opens with a little verse, Revelation 21:8. As for the faithless and the sexually immoral, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And do you remember the second title card that comes up after that?
Salad tossing.
It's a little definition of a little thing we call...
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Quite stylish. Caroline, when you were at a similar age, 16 years old, did you know what tossed salad was?
Hey, Kevin, when I'm here at 30 years old, I did not know what tossed
salad
was. Did
you not?
No.
Wow. Well, and this is what's interesting because I feel like the eating butt discourse is fairly new in my lifetime.
Recent.
Yeah,
in our
like
life.
I feel
yeah,
like
for us.
Allison Williams, well, for us, it's a different thing. But
yeah.
But Allison Williams really kickstarted off on that one episode of Girls that we all remember and love.
Yeah, I just watched that one the other day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, back in the day, it was T and the S. It was tossing the salad, which the reason for the definition in the movie is because someone starts a rumor about our main character, our protagonist, that she was tossing a boy's salad, that she was tossing Wade's salad in a sauna room or something, which she is also confounded, much like 30-year-old Caroline. She does not know what tossing the salad is.
I was like, wow, I really relate to this character.
This is me. This is an access point. Yes. So there's a couple things going on in the movie. It's like coming of age in terms of like discovering your own sexuality. It's an interesting coming of age movie, I think, in the idea that most coming of age sex movies, whether they're like sex comedies or dramas, but you know, anything like Superbad or Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
are about losing your virginity.
It's about losing it, or it's like a woman's sexuality as it's fulfilled often by sometimes a woman, but mostly like with
a guy. It's always penetrative sex too equals like losing your virginity.
And this is just like, this is just you. It's like a Star Wars. It's a Star Wars story. Solo. It is all Solo.
I think Karen Maine actually said that like the love stories between her and her vagina, basically, like that is the relationship that she's developing, which is funny.
Yeah. So it takes place at the retreat, and like it's almost like a slice of life of like 1 week in a Catholic retreat.
Yeah. It's a very small movie, you know, like it's a small cast, like it's very quiet. It's a very like small rooms they're in.
They shot it in 14 days.
Set pieces.
Yes, no.
Yeah. There's not like
no
a big
scenes.
Showcase night. There isn't a lot. There isn't music really. Like it's very low key. But it's perfect because like that's how at least I remember like a lot of church things feeling too. And I thought she like captured that just sort of like mundane, very quiet moments a lot like very well.
Yeah. Opening and there's so many like thesis statement parts of the movie. The short film was just the AOL chat room scene in which Alice, the main character, logs on and then starts cyber sexing with a dude in a chat room, which, full disclosure, I never got to that part of AOL. I was a little too busy in the Garfield forums for it to...
Okay, well, then you were probably relating hardcore to the trivia chat room that she was in. That was all about movie trivia.
Oh, baby. It was so fun.
When I saw that, I was like, this is Kevin's childhood.
In a way, yeah. I know. Kids will never know that AOL
stuff.
But
that's cool. I was so scared of like getting even close to that happening that I was like, yeah, I never talked to a stranger or anything. Were you like really scared that something sexual would happen on your chat rooms?
No. But that's probably just white male privilege. I'm sorry. No, I wasn't afraid that something sexual would happen. I was afraid people would be mean to me, but not sexually mean, I guess.
Yeah. Like we were getting so many warnings at the time, too, of like there being predators, which is true, you know, that I was just like... Like if I had gotten a porn photo in a chat out of somewhere, I would have like freaked out and been very upset. Yeah. You know, I don't think I would have been very curious about it.
I think the 2000s setting of this movie is crucial too, in that back then the internet was something you went to, and now it's just something it's like the difference now,
it's
but
like
everywhere.
The
internet back then was like going to the beach, and now it's like we're a fish in the ocean with the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just
or like checking in on the library.
Yeah.
Get information or like connect with people.
So there's something a lot darker, a lot more, what is out there? And like what we conceive as the dark web now, it's just the web where it's like, I don't know what this is. This box that can show me the rest of the world in some ways. Uh-huh. And so there's a lot more. You do wonder how that's going to, I'd be curious as to like whatever the psych studies are, how children's sexuality develops differently based on like their internet access.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too. Like, how are kids nowadays finding out about sex? Like, how early? And like, is it on TikTok or is it on Instagram? Like, there's plenty everywhere. You know, it's super easy to find. It's not hard.
Even like watching a rated R movie was like a feat when I was a child in a way that's just not now. This movie is rated R, by the way. A movie that does not have the F word in it, does not have any like nudity of any sort or violence, but...
Except for the porn.
I guess there's a little nudity in
that's
the
That's probably
porn.
Why it does it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I feel like this movie caught that too because like, or what we were saying of like only seeing an R-rated movie was how you could see sex for us as a kid. Is that's why she's like replaying Titanic. Over and over.
Like, to be clear, the movie. Oh, by the way, this movie is available for streaming on Netflix now. So if you want to watch it, you can. But the movie,
which I'd recommend. Would you recommend watching it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I should have said that at the top. I would recommend watching this,
especially listeners of the show.
It's
you'll
so
enjoy it a
breezy.
Lot.
It's 78 minutes long. It's like
so
less than
short. I was like, Thank you.
It's like an extended short film in a way. I mean, it literally is. But
and also,
spoiler alert, it does end with a girl jacking off to Titanic. I mean, that's like a... That's
what
a,
do you want? Hey. What else do you want? I don't know. But it's like a 16-year-old. Even with 16-year-old sex stuff on like... And I know that the actor isn't 16. I'm always just like, I don't like seeing it. I don't like seeing them give each other blowjobs. Like,
I know what
I'm
you
too
mean.
Too old. It's weird.
I know what you mean. You kind of have to do a little theater math in your head where it's like... You have to focus on the fact of like, I'm watching a 25-year-old person. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it did not.
But as a child.
Yes. Well, that was my whole, I hate to bring this up second time in a row, but a teacher on Hulu, that's the issue. It's like, don't show these like super sensually shot scenes between a ostensibly child molester and a child where it's like, you're shooting it in a way where like, you want this to go up on Pornhub the next day and then be like, guys, if you are in a grooming situation, call this number at the end of every episode. It feels, a little emotionally dishonest, perhaps. And I know what you mean. It's like a delicate thing. And it does make me feel better. Obviously, that was written and directed by a woman.
If it was
like me doing it where I'm like, hey, so I want to make a movie about a girl jacking off. And
yeah, I don't know. There's probably a great debate you could have about this of like, is the artistic representation like outweigh the grossness of like watching children have sex? You know, I was seeing something else that made me think about this where people were saying like all these high school kids shows like Riverdale and stuff where they're all like boning each other all the time. Mm-hmm. Just set it in college. It's a million times more appropriate. It's actually more realistic that they'd be boning this much. And, like, you aren't setting people up to have, like, weird pedophilic feelings, you know, because they're watching these actors do it.
I'd say, just to be safe, Caroline, I'm going to up the ante, set it in a nursing home, just so we know. We know there's
we
no
know,
chance.
We know.
And those things are rampant with STIs.
They are older. Are,
yeah.
It's also, yeah, very realistic.
Absolutely.
But anyway, all that aside, it still was, like, even for me as a girl who, like, lived through a lot of this similar stuff, mm-hmm. it was gratifying to watch in, like, a way of, like, it was funny, it was kind of embarrassing, but it was also, like, made me feel less alone watching it. It was nice. So I can also understand, like, the merit of it.
There's a scene near the beginning of the movie in which Timothy Simons, who plays a priest at the school, who's then, like, kind of like a camp counselor at the retreat, talks about how women are conventional ovens and men are microwaves, which is so
They're
similar.
Convection ovens, not conventional ovens, right?
I think he said conventional ovens. Maybe it was convection ovens.
Anyway, yeah, but
well,
yeah.
Let's debate this point for 10 more minutes and get to the bottom
so
of it.
I just don't think conventional ovens are those a thing. Anyway, but yeah, he makes the point of, like, yeah, women take a long time and all, it's very complicated to turn them on, and men are a light switch.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, engenders
right.
the thing.
A conventional
that,
oven.
What's that?
You're right. There is a conventional oven. Cut this whole thing.
No. Keeping it in just for accountability's sake, which, no. as we talked about in the beginning of the show,
I don't
is
want
so
the
important.
Accountability.
So things set up like that in terms of, like, the inequitable lens through which female and male sexuality are viewed. And the thing that I was missing from this movie, I feel like, which I recommend people watch still, but I think I wanted a little bit more graciousness from its POV. Where, like, there's like her coming into her own sexuality, all that stuff. And then there's also the thing with the rumor flying around that she tossed Wade's salad, and then she ends up framing Wade for viewing pornography, but then frames him as because of the pornography or the cyber sex she was doing, as, like, being a gay person. So then the rumor goes around that he's gay, but she doesn't do anything to, like, mitigate that at all. And then two.
Yeah, you're right.
Which I thought, well, maybe her speech at the end, which was this kind of like, it was kind of this equivocating, like, hey, we're all just doing our own shit and figuring it out and taking it stuff. I thought it would be a more specific point she'd
yeah,
put on
right.
it.
Yeah, you're right. Because, like, the issue that was, you know, hurting her was that people were spreading a lie about her, about a normal thing, you know, or, like, a healthy, normal thing to be doing. And, but her takeaway was, like, everybody's got secrets and that's okay, you know, kind of thing. Instead of, like, no, I just did the same thing to Wade that I was asking him to not do to me, which is, like, speak up if you know that, like, this rumor coming around about me isn't true, you know.
Which, and the other part of this too, is there's a scene in which she watches Timothy Simons look at porn on his computer, and she knows this. And then there's a confession near the end where she talks about, oh, she's confessing another sin, and she describes the porn in detail that he watched, as if to signal to him, I know what you did, and I see you. And I thought, my instinct is that there would be some note of her saying, like, and hey, it's okay. Or it's normal, or, like, I get it, or, like, we can see eye to eye now. But it was more like, I caught you. And then the end, like, there wasn't some other, like, extension.
I'm okay with that, because he was the authority in that situation, and she was the student, you know? So it's not her job to, like, tell him it's cool for him to watch porn, you know, or that, like,
no,
hey,
I need
we're both figuring that
to tell
out.
Adult men that it's okay. I've been
and also,
on this.
But, and I think her point wasn't, like, you're disgusting too, you know, or something like that, or we're both gross or something. I think it was more like, just you're a hypocrite, basically. And you tried to force confessions from me over and over. You forced a confession from my friend Wade that I know for a fact wasn't true. And you're lying to us, I think it was more the point of that, you know? And for me, I was cool with that. Because otherwise, I felt like this movie did do a good job of not falling into, like, the exaggerated Christian tropes and, like, the really evil Christians and stuff like that. Like, they're, because Timothy Simmons' character, he's also pretty nice on occasion too. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You do feel like you can kind of trust him.
No, there was definitely no, like, yeah, and isn't the Catholic Church so fucked up for blah blah. Like there was no like spotlight vibes to any of the there was no like snarkiness. It was just like, yeah, this is kind of what it is sometimes in some people's experiences. It didn't feel snarky in tone or kind of spiteful or in that way.
Or ignorant of like what it's actually like to be in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this movie does deal with the truth that we talk about all the time, which is that like, hey, a lot of this was reprehensible, but a lot of it was like just really sweet. And it was people doing their best, you know, like trying to make rules out of nothing and try to figure out like, how to teach kids.
Like, for instance, the old lady nun pretending not to see her grinding on that mop when she walks and things like that.
I feel like it was maybe the movie was more about like, hey, this is how different people just respond to a really weird structure and situation. You know, it wasn't so much of a thing about church itself.
What did you think of the end where she kind of wanders off from the campsite and ends up in a, I don't know if it's a specifically gay bar, but
I think it is a lesbian bar.
Okay. And she ends up talking
like rainbow flags everywhere.
To this very nice, wonderful lesbian lady who then kind of guides her and says, I gotta get you back to this camp, even though we just served you illegally.
I know. I was like, I didn't see them giving her wine as like a cool thing for them to do in that moment.
It was almost such a strange, you know, the quote unquote, they call it the magical Negro device in movies where it's like in The Green Mile or Green Book, just a lot of green movies, The Color Money, where there's like a black man that dispenses some sort of like wisdom that then saves the main
character. That like sets the hero back on their path.
This was like the lesbian equivalent of this in some ways. But it was sweet too to like view it in this different, because the other movie this reminded me of, which I still want to talk about one day on this show, is The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which has so much setting in similarity to this movie. It takes place at this retreat, and it's about a young woman's sexuality and either like embracing it or not. And so this was kind of like a version of a character from that movie where it's like, hey, for me, it was like being attracted to women and I thought I was going to hell for this. And I thought blah, 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 blah. And it was nice to have that kind of like exchange with her and the idea of hope and her saying, you know what, go to colleges on the East or West Coast, which then we know is true because then Alice goes to Yahoo and Googles colleges on the East or West Coast. I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I thought that was kind of like, oh no, that's like the trope of, you know, coastal liberal elites only like being able to survive if we're out of the Midwest or something.
Hey, get out of Atlanta and go to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, man.
Yeah, Iowa's dead. There's nothing there. Yeah. I thought that was cool. Yeah, and I thought that scene was kind of weird. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but I also appreciated that it didn't go full into like this woman explaining to her how the Catholic Church is so fucked and how like it's all wrong. Like, I feel like she was pretty gentle with her and she was just like pointed out a little bit of the ludicrous feeling of like, you know, that you're going to go to hell for eating candy you shouldn't or for masturbating or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that was where she left it. She didn't try to convince her, you know, not to be a part of the church or something.
Now, you may be
wants her to think for herself, which I think is even better.
But I did want to share, Caroline, because this is a movie that takes place in the year 2000 and represents, this is so auto-fictional of Karen Maine's own life and her experience in the church. And she said in interviews, this is basically like 80% of what happened to me. We did have to watch a partial birth abortion video in Catholic school. My teacher did make the oven comparison between men and women's sexualities. But I wanted to see kind of what things are like in the year 2020 and to figure out how people are handling the question.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Of jacking off from a faith lens. So I did a little Google, or I did a little YouTube search. And we're going to watch, you know, I have a few videos queued up.
Oh, you have quite a few tabs open.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of tabs here. So here, let's take a, these are just some, I assume, Christian YouTubers. Some of these thumbnails are absolutely incredible, Caroline.
Oh my God.
There's one.
This one.
Tiffany Dawn, masturbation.
I could have modeled for that
one. And she's just got her head in her hands. Women struggle too. And then it's emoji of a woman raising her hand. How I and why I quit porn and masturbation. Is masturbation wrong? The thumbnails, maybe not. Shrug shoulders.
Tiffany Dunn. Get it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Masturbation in the Bible and its self-pleasure is wrong. And we're going to find out from this guy.
Can't wait to listen to that man.
Who looks like a football player. Oh, before I forget, speaking of football players, the man that Alice starts to have sexual feelings for at the camp, the football, captain of the football team, who I thought did a pretty good job with the part. The director, Karen Main, said the arm hair thing specifically was based on how attracted she was to Stanley Tucci's arms in his cookbook. She's like, yeah, that wasn't a youth experience. That was
a recent. That's so funny because I read in another review of like, I'm so glad for the female gaze and how we could finally talk about how important like men's forearms are to us. And I was like, this is true.
Wait, is that true? Oh, shit.
That's a thing. Yeah.
Is arm hair a thing in your experience?
You don't have to get it too can detailed. Be.
Okay.
No, yeah, I think it's just more of like the general, the form is nice.
And that was an arm hair wig in the movie. They had to glue that sucker on. Yeah,
it looked kind of messed up.
It was kind of weird looking, right?
It's not good arm hair representation.
It was like, did you get this from Robin Williams?
Yeah. Like, why not just cast a man, I guess, that has more arm hair or just roll with what he has? Like, it's all good.
Let's hear it. Let's see what this young woman says about
this topic. This is I Am a Christian and I Masturbate.
That's the title. Let's see if it holds up to that, though.
So in no way is masturbation okay.
Hey!
It was a bait and switch!
Hey!
Whether you are a Christian or you are a non-Christian, masturbation is considered sexual immorality. And it has negative spiritual effects, but it also affects the lives of somebody naturally in a sense of a relationship, marriages. It's dangerous all the way around the border.
Dangerous.
So point number one that I want to bring to you guys' attention is that masturbation is creating a sex craze generation that is taking having sex outside of marriage to a whole new height.
So to be clear,
whole new heights.
People who jack off are creating a sex craze generation. People who have an unhealthy relationship with sex. Masturbation creates an unhealthy relationship with sex. It's definitely not the Christian premarital ethic of sex that creates weird little monsters like John Christ, who like to fool around with married women without ever actually doing anything.
Dance to the line of it without doing penetration. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely all about that.
It's actually jacking off.
So what we first need to realize is that masturbation is simply an act that is done to create sexual stimulation. And if you don't know what sexual stimulation is, it's to create that really good feeling that you get from having sex.
Ew.
And this...
Say orgasm. That would have been so much better.
That's the thing, is people talking around some of this stuff is so much more disgusting than actually...
Oh, God.
So that's some of the, I don't even know what
else. Christian girl advice.
There's some people, hey, you know, I did a little Google search. Hey, look, and then there's our friend Kevin Garcia.
Kevin Garcia.
Is masturbation a sin? Question mark. I think I can imagine how he comes out on that side of it. The dangers of, oh my gosh. These are, friends, I would just recommend go to YouTube and just see. All I did was female masturbation Christian. And it is not, this is not.
The Cure for Horniness Part 2. Did you see that?
Wait, where is it?
It's right there. Right above, a little higher. A little bit, yeah. Right
Cure there. For Horniness Part 2.
God's Remedy.
Only 5% of brides are virgins on their wedding day. Okay.
What the fuck?
I mean, I don't know. With some of this stuff, it's like, it's almost like my patience with anti-vax theories of like, to spend this much time debunking a thing that feels... this plane, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like to spend this much mental energy on it feels strange.
Well, I don't know, but maybe that's like for the same kid that's going to YouTube to find out if masturbation is okay, like there'll be a video out there that tells them it is, you know?
But man, before they watch
that
video.
For the kids, Kevin, for the kids.
But for the kids, yes, but for the kids, there's going to be 8 videos that say it's absolutely not. And there's going to be that girl saying there's no way in which it's okay before you get to the few that do or like would affirm it. I can imagine myself as like a whatever year old boy going to YouTube and being like, uh-oh, is it okay? You know, like, I totally see that. Like, I wonder how many of these views are children in like very delicate adolescent developmental stages looking for some sort of like affirmation, or tell me I'm not on fire, or tell me I'm not going to hell.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure most kids think that they are a psychotic freak like for a long time before they find out it's extremely normal.
And did I feel like a strange, disgusting man just typing in female masturbation, Christian? Yeah, it did Christian. Feel like Pornhub sent
you recommended it too. You told everybody, look this up.
Yeah, my algorithm's gonna get fucked.
You know something else that I was thinking about in this movie and watching again and is like so common in these circles, but then watching it, I'm like, this is insane. And I can't believe we tolerated this, which just like how your private life and your vulnerability was like currency, you know, within these groups and especially within these discussion groups, like that circle where he's telling everybody like, okay, can you guys like share what you've been, something where you felt like Jesus was really far away. And someone tells a story of a grandparent dying, and another person tells a story of like their girlfriend dumping them through another friend. And then our main girl feels like she has to tell a story about her dog dying. I think one, to avoid having to talk about sex, and two, because she felt like she had to like give them something, you know, to work with and to like have that. And just like the total lack of boundaries between people who have just met each other. And how that was just completely expected in so many of these retreats or in these like youth groups and stuff. And it's really upsetting to watch. It's really frustrating. Like the fact that her peer, or like someone who was only a couple years older her, barely knocked, walks into her room while she's alone and then goes into her drawer and like takes her phone out and makes her feel bad. Like she was the one who did something wrong by like not handing over her telephone to the counselor or whatever. And just all that stuff, like, that makes you feel like you have to hide all the time. And then because you're hiding, you feel like it's because you're ashamed and you feel convicted rather than like you have a personal life and someone keeps crossing your boundaries constantly and then using that information against you, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of just lack of assumption, almost in a way where some evangelical and Catholic, just I guess general Christian spaces, can extend that lack of privacy that you feel as a child like far beyond what it should be.
Yeah.
Where your parents feel entitled to, well, no, you don't get privacy. You're a little baby person. Why would I give you privacy? But then it extends to these places. And then, yes, to your counselor or to whoever your teacher is at the Catholic or Christian private school or whatever the case may be. People kind of adopt that as an ethos, which then kind of like messes you up sometimes in the worst cases of like, oh, now when I make friends with this person, I feel entitled to know about their dad dying, you know, or whatever, like whatever the weird thing is.
Yes.
I can apply that.
And that feeling of like, well, if you had nothing to hide, then you would share it, you know?
Yes.
But if you're not sharing, it's because you have something to hide. Or I think Timothy Simmons, the priest character, when he's trying to get all the kids to like divulge, he says like, this retreat's not going to work unless you're honest with us. Or no, it's when he's talking to Natalie, like one-on-one.
Oh yeah. When they're trying to figure out who looked at porn on the AOL on his computer.
Which I feel like is just a classic, like, emotionally manipulative thing to say to someone is like, well, if you want this to work, or if you really like intended to come here like with a good reason, then you would give us all of this, your honesty and your private life, you know?
I know, it's such a bummer.
It's just messed up.
But you know, there was the two things that this movie reminded me of are Miseducation, Camera Post, and then PIN 15 because of the AOL and instant messenger of it all in the 2000 stuff. And using candy at the end of it as well, and Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera. Like all those music drops were, yes, very, very on point. Although I feel like those are maybe a little bit stronger. But let's rate this now. I'm not going to explain it to you because you know how it works. We give it a roast or toast. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Caroline. Toast, we send it to heaven. Heaven-bound. Roast, we send it to hell. Or there's always the third purgatorial option. The space between. And we start with Caroline.
Starting with me, I'm going to give this a toast. I think it was like we said, it was good. It was mercifully short.
Mercifully.
It captured a moment and a feeling really well, and it just examined like that one short thing, you know, and I feel like it did it really well. And it's just nice too, like, to see, like you said, a coming of age that wasn't about this girl losing her virginity or finally kissing a boy or something. It was about her like coming to terms with owning her own body and stuff like that. And that was cool. I appreciated it a lot. And like I said, it didn't fall into like a lot of facile tropes or like easy dunks and stuff like that. But I don't think that her final speech really captures what should have been the message about this, because
I agree.
To what my earlier point, she says, when she does like her big, you know, message to the group, she's like, we're all hiding stuff. What if we were honest? And what if we treated each other with respect? Like, that's what Jesus would want. The truth is, we're all trying to figure out our shit, which is true. But I was like, I think you all need to be less professional.
Say less,
other, you know?
Yeah, be yeah. less vulnerable.
Or like build more trust. Like, yeah. That would be more the thing. Or like build more relationships before we feel like we can indict each other on various crimes, yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that said, I give it a total toast. I liked it a lot.
I give it a toast too. It's the light toast. I like the gentle, sweet little heart of this movie and the kind mm-hmm. of kindness. It is funny that Alice is just such a silent protagonist too. It was like watching The Mandalorian. It was just a bunch of looks. What if there's an episode of The Mandalorian that's about the Mandalorian learning how to jack off? And Baby Yoda's just watching like...
Oh, Kevin, his armor does that for him.
What?
It's Mandalorian
that's
armor,
cool.
okay?
That
it can
rules.
Do it all. You think that suit's not taking care of his needs?
This is the way. That would rock. But yes.
Oh my God.
And again, big boy Tim Simons, we want big things for him.
We all want big things for him.
We all want big things for him. We're getting on the Tim Simons train.
I'm rooting for him.
Put him in superhero
more so than
movies.
Cousin Greg? Between your two...
I think he's
going to
be more malleable
goofs.
Than Cousin Greg. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah, I think Simons has, he has it. He just has it. I don't mean to stand so hard. It just,
no,
I don't know.
It's cute.
Yeah, it is cute. We're not the final word on this. Go to @ChristianFunPod. Watch Yes, God, Yes on Netflix. It's there waiting for you. Give it a roast or a toast yourself. Get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
I did it. All right, time to bring it down.
We did it, Kev.
We did it, Caroline.
We did a solo bolo episode.
Which we have not done in 2 years on main feed, have we?
2 years
yeah.
on main feed? Wow.
Last one we did was not Eve 6, Out of Eden.
Oh, yeah.
That was the last one. It might have been more than 2 years ago. Good grief. But
dang.
We're dimming the light.
But time.
But this is when we ask the listeners politely, nicely, with big ol' eyes looking up. You still like it when it's just us, right? We're enough, right?
Right, guys?
You don't need a fancy guest.
Entertainment.
Yeah. You don't need someone to rehash their trauma. Sometimes it can just be goofs between two good little friends. Right.
Am I asking people to trade their vulnerability? Yes, I am all the time.
Yeah. See, what the end of our thought with that is that it's weird when you do it at a Catholic retreat camp. It's cool if you do it as an adult in front of a microphone that then is transmitted to X amount of people.
No, but you see, our guests know what they're signing up for, and that makes it
they do. Yeah.
Proposition.
They volunteer. Yeah. You're saying they're asking for it, right?
I said they're asking for it.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, great. We're not here to promote ourselves or lift ourselves up. Or no, we are here to lift ourselves up in 2021. And this year, we're picking our words. Like, every year we pick a key word that's like, this is the word of this year. I had one friend share with me her word is fearless, because she did have some fear about some things in 2020. I've had other people share other words with me. Our word for the podcast is...
Yeah, I can't wait to hear her.
Borat. And you'll see what we mean if you listen to Seth.
No, it's not.
It's
your word of the year.
I want it to be Borat.
Your Borat. Yes, yes. What is your word for this year, Kevin?
Communication, I think.
Ooh, I like that one. Yeah. That's good.
Do you have one?
A word for the year. No.
Well, when you
Snacks.
Know, communicate it to me. Okay. What'd you say?
Snacks.
My word of the year is carbs.
Carbs. Yeah. Now, Kevin, on your lift up and my lift up, I think we should lift up the platform that we want them to follow us on the most.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And you have to name all the platforms you're on first. You have to embarrass yourself like that. Own it. And then say which one you want them to follow first.
Okay, yes. So are we listing them in order of how little we care about if they follow us on
whatever.
It? Okay.
Oh, we could do that. Yeah, that's better. Okay, so I am Caroline's Farts on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok.
TikTok is number one.
No, I didn't put those in order. But
well,
I,
that's
I
what I just said. I thought we
I know,
were listing
I didn't do
them
it, though.
In order.
You can do it. You're going to be better at that. But I think I mostly want to follow on Twitter. I think that's my favorite follow if you're going
to
do one.
That's what I was thinking. And then you said it first. It was such a reversal. Do you have anything to lift up?
Oh, yes, I do. I have a TikTok I want to lift up. If you're
every
into
part of this is taking celebrity... you by surprise.
That's the way it feels every week on this show, Kevin. I'm always surprised by joy. I'm going to lift up Lactose Lover on TikTok. The O in lover is a zero, but she does these amazing celebrity charts where she'll chart out the relationships between like all the Food Network stars or all the celesbians and how they all come back to the Glee cast or Taylor Swift or Harry Styles. So it's very funny. I really recommend it. I get a lot of joy out of those.
Okay, great. Well, you can follow me in order of descending from ascending how much I care about it.
Here we
on
go.
TikTok, on Facebook.
Facebook! Oh my gosh, do you still post jokes on
no!
Facebook?
No!
Oh no.
No, okay, it goes Facebook, TikTok. I should delete Facebook, but I like the groups.
What about, you have to include your website as well.
No, that's not social media. That's
I'm
just,
counting it.
That's just a Kevin website.
KevinTPorter.com.
All right, okay, follow me at on my website, on TikTok. No, I'm sorry. My website, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
Wow.
Twitter, Letterboxd.
Letterboxd.
Letterboxd. It's just novel. It's just novel right now. It's
it is,
just
it's
novel
new,
and
fresh.
Fun. I'm not saying it's yeah. the best. It's just the most novel and the most fun.
It is good. And you know, it's like the closest I think you have to like your own Substack right now. And it's more of like a personal essay thing, which is like right now it's your vibe.
Sometimes I like all of Caroline's reviews. Those are so fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I feel like I'm still chasing.
I know. Well, you didn't log this one, so I was a little confused on how you felt about it before we recorded.
Well, that's only because I finished it about a half an hour before we started recording. So no time.
I'm going to lift up my freaking, you know what? I'm going to lift up me. Kevin Bacon Shop. I'm lifting it up.
Oh, yes. This is where Kevin sells the homemade cookies that he makes. So if you're hunkering after them.
So, and here's what it is. At Kevin Bacon Shop on Instagram and then also kevinbaconshop.com. Made by, with Squarespace, a wonderful tool with easy to use templates and all proceeds go to the CLED Neighborhood Homeless Coalition, which is a local neighborhood outreach here in Los Angeles. Which is also our charity for this month, for the month of January. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere, patreon.com/goodchristianfun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate a dollar to charity. And this month's charity is Sila. And yes, it's just in LA right now. Maybe I'll ship one day. And I don't know, it's okay. Some people have ordered and they haven't thrown up.
They're delicious.
There's
they're
no
so good.
I will say there's no COVID in the cookies. Even though 1 in 5 people have COVID in LA County, there is no COVID.
And there's
in
no
the
COVID
cookies.
In these cookies. No. That should be your tagline. And also, I'd say that what you're really paying for beyond the cookies is a moment to meet Kevin T. Porter because he delivers them in person.
Okay,
so
hang on. I don't know. Like I do a contact list where I just drop it off at the front doorstep and then knock and run away. And
but
I
if
do
you
run.
Wait by your door, you're gonna get a moment with him. You're gonna tell him what you thought about Wonder Woman 1980.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I have no horse in that race. But if you tell me what you think about HBO's content strategy in Q1.
He's going to hang out on the porch for a long time.
Hey, give me beer. Can we just like jam for a second?
Can we jam?
Caroline, thanks for being my co-host. This is usually when
Kevin,
we thank the guests for being here.
Thank you for being my co-host. Always a delight.
And Off Pod's people said,
Boy.
And all Pod's people said my wife.
My wife.
Let's go out with the unofficial theme song of this movie. Let's do it.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. White style.
Do you know what scrambled eggs is, Kevin?
No, what's that? Confused.
That's when you crack someone's balls on a fryer.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Frasier has left the building.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.